Good afternoon, Jules fans, and welcome back to Jules and the Blood Injury Time. Today, joined by Matt.
And Matt alone.
Just Matt alone. Why is Boz not here?
She's a fucking div.
So Boz has known probably since the middle of the week that we're going to be recording on Sunday. I texted him earlier, said, when you're up, let me know, so we could know when to invite Matt round and do this recording. Messaged him earlier, and he said, do it without me, boys. I forgot about it.
So he basically just thought you was asking him to let you know when he was waking up, just, like you loved him.
Yeah, because I always want to know when he's awake. Don't I?
He's such a...
Ironically, the one time I did want to know when he was awake was when he fucking locked me out the other
day. And all your ice cream melted.
And my ice cream melted. Out for 2 hours, banging on the door, ringing the doorbell.
And posting pictures on Twitter looking very angry.
Yeah. And he just slept through it.
What a knob.
That is probably, in all the years I've known him, that's probably the angriest I've ever felt with him. The fact that he'd locked me outside for 2 hours. And it might be a bit irrational, but it was a hot day.
There's a lot of ice cream that got wasted.
I bought him Shreddies and everything. And my Ibina.
I'd have chucked him in the bin.
That's how he replaced me.
Just to prove the fucking point.
But we're over it now.
Yeah, we're not bitter.
We've moved on.
Now he's giving us something else to moan about.
Yeah. Other than that, noticed more weird eating habits. So the other day, he done a few sausages in a deep fat fryer. And I thought...
Are they still things, deep fat fryers?
Oh yeah, he uses it all the time. He never changes the oil. He's probably going to burn the house down soon.
Doesn't change oil. Is it like black?
No, well, he says it's dark brown.
He says
you'll know when you need to change it. When we first moved in, he said a few weeks. Like, we've now been here about 2 months and it's still the same oil.
That's fucking disgusting.
Well, he claims it's all right. But when this house burns down...
You know, it only oil's too dark when you can't see the food in it.
Yeah.
But I thought they was like, I thought they stopped in like the 1980s, no, like still Sinead O'Connor. No. Does he put Shreddies in there?
No. No, I've looked at a Shreddy count. I've done a recce of how much Shreddies he's got. He's got 6 boxes on the go at the moment, so.
He's fucking obsessed. All that and toilet roll. He's got such and a weirdo. Just like stockpiling juice, cereal and...
Oh,
toilet tissue.
So anyway, deep fried these 4 sausages.
Sorry, yeah, carry on.
And I thought, right, he's going to put in bread, which the other week he didn't do, so that's sensible on his part.
Oh, this was the whole hot dog, not
this
hot
was the
dog
whole
bun.
Hot dog with no buns or
chicken dippers, no dip fiasco.
Yeah, anything like that. So I then got upstairs, so I thought, right, he's having sausages, they're going to be in bread. That's quite normal.
Sausage sandwich?
Yeah. What I get down to is him sitting at the table, sausages on his plate.
It's very grown up for him, in fairness. We'll give him that one.
He's taken a loaf of bread onto the table with him, along with a knife and butter. Now, if you was having sausage sandwiches, how would you do it? Would you like, you'd butter all the bread first, wouldn't you? And then put your sausages
butter
in?
Butter the bread.
Yeah.
I'd have to have a condiment.
Yeah.
I know he won't, because he's odd. So then, choice of condiment. Slice sausages through the middle.
Yeah.
Butterfly. Is that a chef term?
Yeah.
Welcome to MasterChef 2019.
Well, this is Boz. Boz, sausage.
And then eat the sandwich.
Gets the sausage, butters the bit of bread, puts the sausage in, folds the bread over.
What, a whole sausage?
Yeah.
Not, hasn't cut it, sliced it.
I don't think so. Puts the sausage in bread, folds it over, eats it. He then butters the next piece. So he's buttering a piece at a time, putting a sausage in.
So he's chain buttering.
So he butters bread, sausage in bread, folds it over.
So how many fucking sandwiches did he have? He's having one sausage per one slice of bread.
So I come down and I just can't help myself. I just have to be like, what are you doing? What are you fucking doing? Like, I always have to just get straight to the point, because I've never known anything like it.
He needs educating.
So I'm like, what are you fucking doing? And he says, well, I'm having, you know, I'm buttering the bread one at a time. I'm like, well, why didn't you just butter it all at the start? You know, I'd butter the 4 bits of bread at the start.
Get the amount of sauces you want, butter it all, put it all away and eat.
And he said, well, I might butter too much. But if you have 4 sausages, you know you're going to have 4 bits of bread, like, in my opinion.
God. Yeah, unless you're
so he does it his way. So he has his 4 slices of bread with 4 sausages.
But the whole sausage, so what's he doing? So that's not a good bread sausage ratio.
But then
you have to like wrap it round it like a
But then it's just the best bit. After them four, he then starts buttering a fifth slice of bread because he's still hungry.
So just eating a slice of bread and butter.
Slice of bread and butter. This is what I live with.
You chose this life.
Yeah, and this life chose me.
<Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun>.
Only another 35 years on the mortgage, I think.
Not killed him first.
Well, he wanted to kill me the other night. We went out to watch Rachel Bradley, who was brilliant the other night, over in Maidstone, Friday night. Had a good night. Drinks were flowing. Got assaulted by her friends and friends of friends.
Assaulted or insulted?
Assaulted. Well, both. Mainly assaulted, but I probably did get insulted as well.
Fair enough.
But no, it was a good night, and highly recommend going over to watch her at some point. I think she's performing in a few different places in Kent over the next few weeks. So hopefully we'll go and watch her again and not be physically abused.
Do it all here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Fucking MasterChef, talent agency. Haven't spoken about any fucking football yet. No, we've been running for 6 minutes.
Before we move on to any football, nice bit of social media again from James Callaghan. Scoops this week.
The sequel, being a Gilles fan. He did enjoy that again. Yep, keep them coming, Scoops.
Yeah, we want a lot more of them. And the caption competition this week
was a good one.
Brilliant Christ picture.
He looked like he'd basically...
So this is a picture
burgled
for
a market stall in Turkey.
Anyone that hasn't seen the picture, it's a picture of a 14 or 15 year old Boz on a train with his...
That's a very dodgy grin, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks
Why has he only got one arm that's joined all the way round to both shoulders?
Like he's cuddling himself. It's a very odd picture, so you need to check it out to really appreciate what we're talking about. So, comments. Start with
the first one. Is Scoops Callaghan. Man wears bad man ting umbros. No feet on the seat. I do what I want. That wasn't a very good gangster. Gary Myers Co. said Paul Scally's wallpaper on his PC gets revealed. Gary's lowered the tone. This is worse than me. I mentioned masturbation quite a lot on another episode. Gary's put, finally found something I can't wank to. Where the hell's his right hand? In fact, forget that. I don't want to know. Is he saying that in the third person that Boz is trying to say something I can't wank to? Or Gary, are you saying you're not going to wank to that picture of Boz?
I think Gary's saying he's found something that he's not going to wank to.
We've just said wank a lot.
Yeah. We have
Swifty
to.
Moving on.
Gary's lowered the tone.
Dutch Gunderson, transfer in the no guru. C France, nah, we're not at Folkestone yet. Ben Hall, 1995, has simply put, young Boz, what happened?
That's it.
And that is everything on Twitter.
So on the Facebook ones, Rachel Bradley, sporty self has let herself go.
Sporty Spice.
Oh, what? What did I say?
Sporty self.
Oh, sorry. I can't read.
Mark Green has put, Sports Direct calendar shoot 1998.
Kevin Wise has just put, get your fucking feet off the seats.
Dave Miller, Reader's Husbands has lowered its standards.
And then he's moaned at me as admin of the site, of the Facebook group, for putting that picture on there anyway, classing it as offensive material.
It's got a point.
I'll read this next one because you put it. You wrote, having shit himself for the umpteenth time on a journey to the ground, he sat there smugly, safe in the knowledge he would soon have the entire carriage to himself.
He definitely looks like he's had a dump on that shirt.
I don't really understand these next few, to be honest, from the Island Idiots, Gary Brad and Mark Spencer.
That don't make any sense at all.
No.
I think we should just ignore them.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's just go straight to Joe Van Dyke.
I think...
Gary loves putting kisses on Facebook and all, doesn't he?
If I remember correctly, because we all used to go to Jules back in the day, and it would have been handy for Boz to be here to actually try and clarify this as well.
But he's let us down.
From what I remember, there was a group of girls...
Sorry, did you just say Boz and a group of girls in the
Boz
same sentence?
Boz and a group of girls that approached him whilst we was waiting at Simon Station for the coach.
Like a police officer.
And he was too busy eating his sausage sandwich to even care. And I think that's what they're referring to with these comments. But
did he... I'm not going to ask how he buttered the bread for his... Just sat there on a platform with a loaf of fucking Mighty White, just laying them out on the seat.
Oh, and then... Yeah, so I think that's what it's all about. So, Joe Van Dyke, another Islander. Breaking news, John O'Shea spotted on a train en route from Medford.
I think that's massively insulting to John O'Shea. I know he's retired now, but Christ, he's not in that bad shape, surely.
And then last one, Kevin Aldworth just replied, "Hello, ladies."
Hello, ladies. Some right. good stuff there. Enjoyed them again.
Yeah,
I love always the better when Boz is the picture.
Yeah, he is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he?
Yep. Him.
Right, move on to some Jules chat, shall we?
Yeah, not loads, is there? But
no, not too much, but a couple
more incomings.
Interesting new sign-ins again in the week.
So is it Monday? I'm going to try and pronounce this because he did put it on the interview, didn't he? Was it Usainu Cisse? But we just call him Us.
Yeah.
That's going to get shouted a lot next season. So we're not sure whether we're going to be telling him to shoot or we're booing him for being really bad. Yeah, so big, powerful, athletic centre midfielder, I think Steve Evans said. Looks like everything that we need still, doesn't he? So on paper, obviously, until he starts playing.
I don't know too much about him, but 6'5", looks a bit of a brute,
unit,
don't he? Looks
a bit of a unit, yeah.
Enforcer, so I think... got a good deal there, hopefully, on paper.
Yeah, played, what, 30-plus games for MK Dons last season in League 2 and helped him get promoted. So, I don't know if we... Was it Yeovil with the other one that was interested, I think?
Yeah.
So, no, not Yeovil. Was it Yeovil? Was that some one other? Was it Steven? I don't know. Move on, quick.
And the other one, I'll let you deal with the pronunciation again.
Dom Michael. Jolly. Michael and Jolly, I think it was, wasn't it?
Michael and Jolly.
Yeah, we've got two people in.
That's the English version.
That's what Boz would think it was. Yeah, we've signed Stocky Booth, we've signed two players. We've signed Michael and Jolly.
Michael and he's really happy. Michael's really happy to sign. He's so jolly.
We've signed Happy Michael from Bournemouth. But no, where was he on loan last season? Was it Scottish Premier League? Kilmarnock. They finished third behind only Celtic and Rangers, so... I think someone tweeted and said that of his 31 games up there, he only started 7 though, so 24 substitute appearances, can basically play through the middle or out wide. And Steve Evans
learned not to judge too much on
raving about his excessive pace. So
when it comes back to Eves when he first signed,
exactly. Yeah, it's not one I know a lot about. Let's just hope he's not another Joe Quigley.
Yeah, to be. He's training back in the Football League, I saw on Sky Sports. I see
a couple of replies who said he must have one hell of a fucking agent. Because basically he was like one step away from joining me about a month ago in Sunday League, I think. And now he's back in League 2.
Yeah, a bit of a weird one, that one, isn't it?
When he crap at Maidstone last season.
Yeah,
I mean, they were shy all season long. And then he was at Bromley, been Boreham Wood, somewhere else. And now suddenly he's got a shot up there at a team that nearly got promoted.
Yeah. It's a strange one, isn't it?
Like I say, good agent.
And another one with a good agent, your old mucker.
Not at fucking Divany, you've got to see that, yeah.
Divany Football League.
I tweeted and said I would put good money on him going out on loan in January and being released on a free transfer end of next season. We are talking about the wonder that is Emmanuel Osadavi. Did you read the fucking Macclesfield like internet piece about it? Oh, Jesus Christ. The way they... You thought he was getting, like, I don't know, a cross between N'Golo Kante and Anders Iniesta, the way they bigged it up on their internet.
You think athletic, he is a bit strong, like N'Golo Kante, but... a different pronunciation.
Yeah, he's a bit of a...
He's a bit of an Ingo. He's a bit of a in your book, isn't he? Yeah.
I'll cut you next Tuesday. I like him.
Yeah, obviously. Simon Royce returns this week.
Oh, yes, that was the big one. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Forgot about that. Yeah, really happy with that.
Good to have a proper goalkeeping coach again and some of that affiliation to the...
Who did we have last year? Was that Scott... I can never remember his name. Was it double bite... double barrel Palmer charm or something?
Scott like that.
And then there was that random bloke that just turned up about 3 or 4 times throughout the season and he weren't there. It was, we've not had a proper one, have we, since Glenn Johnson left.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a great move. Knows the club, got promoted with us. I know it sounds like we're sort of contradicting ourselves because we said we wanted to get away from ex-players and managers, but worked with Jack Bonham as well, hasn't he, for a few seasons at Brentford. So and if we've managed to lure him away from a Championship club, then... Kudos to Mr. Scally and Mr. Lawrence, is it the chief exec?
Yeah.
Mr. Evans and whoever else has had a part to play.
Do you still think we'd look for another keeper or do you think they're going to trust the youngster?
No, and that's no disrespect to Joe Walsh, who was meant to be a real prospect, but no, I wouldn't want an 18-year-old on the bench.
I just think it depends where the funds are now, how much funds are left and what is going to be the positions that he wants to strengthen. Where's he going to take a bit of a chance? Because left back's another one.
Could he take a chance at centre-half because that Cisse can play centre-back? So then you could say we've got Amar, Ogilvy, Gab and Us.
Yeah.
Full-back, I think we're covered. If we've got full... But he says he wants someone else to come in at left-back, so he looks like he's trying there. Hodgson, Fuller can play right-back. Garmston, one other you need then. But Ogilvie can play left back at a push. I know he said he's not going to play there a lot. Desperately need strikers still, don't we? So Tommy's contract officially runs out today. So do you imagine that tomorrow on Twitter we'll get something to say that he's finally fucked off somewhere else?
Yeah, might be some news on that front.
Luton apparently, or Millwall or Charlton, that's all the names that have been doing the rounds, but they all seem to be signing people or saying they're not interested, but that could just be a big ruse on their part to keep it quiet. So
it'd be similar to when we all thought that was going and we kept him for another season, didn't we?
I'd spunk in the pants if he fucking stays for another year, won't I?
Right, you've lied the tone again.
Yep. Gary started it.
Oh, we blame it on Boz as well. Got our first pre-season.
Never blame my load on Boz.
No. Oh God,
such a waste.
We got our first pre-season game this Saturday now. So
Saturday the 6th, Faversham.
Faversham away.
We like going down here, don't we? It's nice little non-league ground.
You're going, aren't you?
Yes, I am now. Yeah, I've got a barbecue, but it's an earlier kickoff, so I'll be able to go to that and then rush home, get changed, and then go and get pissed.
Then they'll probably all come thick and fast after that, all the games, won't they?
It's quite before you know it, it'll be, I think it's 33 days now till Doncaster, isn't it? So
exciting times. And the other bit of news surrounding the club this week is the potential return of Matt Jarvis.
And the one that surfaced last night or this morning by that Alan, that journalist who apparently writes for a national rag, I'm not going to say their name. Jack Payne, apparently, we're in for as well.
That would be an absolutely amazing signing for this level.
I think if you can get either one of them and Tom Eaves to stay. Be shooting my load again, wouldn't I?
Looking good.
Not on Boz.
Speaking of Matt Jarvis, we've got an in-the-know story in regards to where his potential future lies.
Is this a story coming in from Holland?
This is a story coming in from Holland, hot off the press. Where's it gone?
Hot off the press, but he's lost it.
I think I've actually deleted the message. It's Jenny, it's not there. It was there a minute ago. It's gone.
Is it not that one then?
No, that's the one from last week.
You're a prick.
We've had a mare here.
Oh, you've had a mare here.
I haven't had.
Let's not fucking label this as we. Let's not pluralise this.
Dutch, on behalf of myself and the rest of the HQ team.
No.
I'd just like to apologise because your message has just disappeared out of nowhere.
Can you not
look, that's it? The one that I've replied. Look, so I've replied, oh no, not number 8 shirt, but the actual message is gone. Unbelievable.
I can't believe you're trying to blame me. I can't believe
you can see that
you're
it's
implicitly
not there.
Saying that I'm involved in you deleting the message.
I don't.
Can you not remember it? Did you read it?
I did read it, yeah.
You have to fucking freestyle it.
I can't remember what it said. It was something.
There must have been an auntie in there, surely.
Auntie Violet was in there again.
Auntie Violet was definitely there. And just so we're signing up.
It was something along the lines of that Dutch's missus met Auntie Violet
so wrong,
outside B&Q in the car park.
I'm just seeing that game they play on Celebrity Juice when they have headphones on and they talk and they have to get to the story and it's like completely different by the end.
But then I can't remember a lot else that happened. All I know was that the ending centred around Matty coming back, and but he also wanted the number 8, which is why I've replied, oh no, not the number 8 shirt. Because after the drama last week...
The Matty Willock controversy.
Matty
Willock. Controversy.
Carrot. Instant.
This has been an excellent part of the show. I think this would probably be everybody's favourite segment of the entire episode.
Yeah.
So basically, we signed in Auntie Violet from B&Q on a 1-year contract.
Yeah. I can only apologise again, Dutch. What I think happened when
on
I was
half of all of us apparently.
Yeah, when I was writing on the tablet,
I think you should stop digging a hole and just move on.
But you can see I've replied to it.
I think you should just move on to the next
Right, anyway, let's move on. Speaking of nasty, the topic this week was nasty teams.
On the back of Cameroon, they were a lovely bunch last week, weren't they? Fucking disgusting. Spitting and elbowing and
accusing FIFA of racial...
Come out and literally said in a press conference that FIFA were racist because they got decisions correct. Now, I fucking hate VAR with a passion. You know that.
Yeah.
The first time I come on here, when we do the bit at the end where you say one opinion and I said, VAR can fuck off. And I still think VAR can fuck off. It's horrendous. Hate it with a passion. Won't be watching Premier League football next season if it's going to be taking about 10 minutes of injury time every half. Can't be doing with it. But at the end of the day, the Cameroons felt hard done by for no reason at all.
No.
But spitting is just fucking vile for me. I'd rather someone punch me in the face and we have it out and go around gobbing on people. That's disgusting.
But it's the way that they all just refused to play. They all down tools as well. It's
and the manager was letting it happen. I thought the ref should have just booked someone straight away and it'd have all stopped. But she let it happen.
The thing I hated was when they put that nasty tackle right at the end.
On the captain.
On the captain. And their manager stepped over her.
Yeah.
And then the player that number seven, I think she might have been the captain. She's like berating.
And they're trying to pull her up as well. Trying to say she was play acting. I was surprised she got up and was even more surprised when she played on Wednesday in the Thursday in the quarter final.
Yeah, so that was our
that's where our inspiration come from.
Yeah, for
disgusting Cameroon
nasty teams
players.
That we've seen at the Jewels over the past few years. So we've got a few. So
oh, was it just at the Jewels? Oh,
I did a general one.
I was going to find the YouTube video of that Cameroon one when they're all trying to pole axe at Claudio Caniggia at the 1990 World Cup. It's hilarious. It's like synchronised. Like he gets to the halfway line, one batters his ankle, he stays on his feet, the next one clatters the other ankle, and he's like treading water, and then the last one just absolutely bashes him into the main stand. I'll try and find it and put it on
the Twitter page later. So we had a few, some were quite similar. So the first one was from Boz himself. Yeah. So Boz said, any team managed by Graham Wesley, I think he's got a reputation for being a bit nasty and a bit deceitful with his teams.
He linked to us a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he was, yeah. I remember reading once that he used to get his players to, or a player on his team to go down seemingly injured on about 25 minute mark. So he could then call the rest of the team over and like do like
have a team talk.
Yeah, team talk. How true that is, I don't know, but I think it did get looked into.
Tactics. Yeah, it's happening on that minute every week.
Yeah.
Imagine somebody
around that time. Alan Spore, for me, the Swindon team, late '70s, early '80s, used the black arts to kick, punch, and any other tactic to win. Mentions the famous match where the ref was attacked was one of the nastiest matches he's ever witnessed.
What have we got next?
You want to read the next one?
Yeah, that's before my time, that one, Alan, so I appreciate it. This is what we like about this, though, because you get different eras and stuff.
That's where the rivalry with Swindon all started, weren't it? From that match, is it Ray McCow? I believe that's his
might name. Be, yeah. Yeah. Good shout, that one, if you pulled that one from the depths of somewhere. Cy Chaplin was next.
The depths where Dutch's message has gone to as well.
Yeah, it's in there safely. It's been filed away safely. Cy Chaplin at Moody Blue 2 has said, obviously from last season were Rochdale and Steve Evans, Peterborough, not the opposition, but Tony Pudis' Gillingham team from 95-96 promotion season had the worst disciplinary record that season, was certainly no angels. That's fine, but then Steve, I didn't think Steve Evans, did you go to the Peterborough game?
Yeah.
I thought Steve Evans' Peterborough side, number one beat us because they were fucking better than us.
They were better than us, but
I know, was it Cissé and Tony went down a little easily?
I can't remember which. No, what's the name?
Not Cissé, sorry. Sirike Dembele.
Yeah, that's the one. He's the one that wound me up because he kept diving around all over the place.
So but we can't dig that team out if we were celebrating Tony Pulis' side doing it in the late 90s.
Yeah, see, that's before my time, and that's kind of there's a conversation between David Moore and Neil Starkey, who mentions Preston, and I think that was that 95-96 season?
Preston, I think, would be a bit later. That's the one I mentioned. I don't think per se they were a nasty team, but there was that Sean Gregan who was their captain and Essie was our captain. Oh. And they both played centre midfield and they used to happily kick fucking lumps out of each other and it was absolutely brilliant to watch.
Yeah.
But that was back in the day when you could go through people and you didn't get a red card straight away. And if one of them kicked the other one would get straight up and kick him back rather than rolling 32 miles.
Yeah. So David Moore said any of the sides managed by Neil Warnock and also mentions Preston and Swindon.
I wonder if that's in reference to the Alan Spore one, that Swindon team, then it could be.
Yeah, possibly.
Neil Starkey, I don't think Preston were dirty, just played a similar style to us early Pulis thugs.
Neil Starkey also commented later on he never classed Preston as dirty, they never stood out compared to us at the time. Neil also mentions the 2009 Rochdale team were pretty physical. Remembers their assistant manager kicking Jarrett up in the air the last game of the season before we met them in the playoffs.
That was in the... Yeah, because we played them last day of the season and then straight away, because Jacko scored the winner, didn't he, I think?
What, in the
at
one?
At Priestfield. In the second leg of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, in the second leg, yeah. And that's David Moore said Rochdale awful this season, going free to field as well. And I think that was a lot of the majority of comments on Facebook and Twitter. Rochdale this season, that's the game we all come away
scum. Very absolute angry scum from. That. And there was not a red card in that. You had Wilbraham stuck his arm in Burner's face.
Yeah.
Then Henderson stuck his arm in Ogilvy's face. Then Wilbraham stuck his arm in Ogilvy's face again. And then he got subbed off, didn't he? Because they knew he was going to get sent off and they bought on that fucking lump, Calvin Andrew.
Yeah.
And didn't he, like, basically karate kick Ogilvy?
Pretty much.
Porcelain was lucky to come out of it alive. But they were fucking the speaker. And who's that prick of a captain of theirs that was fucking giving it to the Rainham end? Their captain, is it Jim...
Oh, McNulty?
Jim McNulty?
Yeah,
Jim McNulty. Fucking tosser.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said after that, I'll come out after
well,
that.
Everyone wanted them to get go fucking down, relegated, didn't they?
And then they went on a run after that.
Didn't happen. But hopefully next season.
Yeah, and I've always liked Rochdale until that game because I thought Keyfield done a brilliant job on with literally no fucking money for years. But after that, no, fucking hate him now.
So Clive Grandston also said Swindon and both their referees, 1979.
Beep.
Can't say that word.
Yeah, we say some adult stuff, but we're not shouting that one out.
And that's a comment again about Mikhail. So
there you go. You got that. Yeah. So this must be all the link then.
Yeah.
To this one that Alan Spore mentioned, which is good.
Clive Grandston also said, any team managed by Steve Evans.
Seems to be a theme here. Yeah. I wonder if we'll be moaning now if we're in the top six around about April time.
No, exactly. Let's have a look.
What's someone's put Rochdale away. Christopher Curry, but I don't know if he means... I think we didn't go to Rochdale away game. I don't know if he means Rochdale away at us, because...
Yeah.
Rochdale at home to us again. Away, sorry, Craig Adams again. So Rochdale is a recurring theme.
Yeah, Matty Millen also mentions Rochdale at home for the amount of elbows that were used. You said there about OV. Matty said very lucky to not have any damage. Not to have any damage, I get that being physical is a requirement needed, but when it's pure out and out assault, then it's a joke.
Yeah, sticking three elbows in someone's face, that's not playing the game, that's just trying to do someone.
Jim Tolley, Wickham, the Wickham school diving and whining at the ref must have had quite a few graduates the last few seasons.
Don't know anything about that, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't
remember Wickham being soft against us when we, what was that, 2-2 at our place last season? We come from 2-0 down, didn't we? Parker scored, Edo, late on. Eves and Parker scored in the second half because we caught it. We got a good shot of us two celebrating.
Oh, yeah.
I nearly lost my woolly hat. But I don't remember them being soft or anything like that. They're a big side. I mean, like Adebayo, Akin Fenwar, and who's the lad that we had on loan who played at the back?
Adam Elabd.
He's a big lump, but he played the game the right way.
Yeah. Andy Wheatley... The dirty, scummy mugs at Forest the day we were relegated from the Championship, they were already down and celebrated like they'd won the league. Total tossers.
Yeah, it's just about having a bit of class, wasn't there, at times, I suppose.
But didn't we do that to Notts County, though, some of our fans, when we relegated them?
You always get the odd idiot, didn't you, unfortunately. You just got to be a bit classy about it.
Got your comment.
It's a big one, isn't it? Fucking hell, went on a bit.
Paragraph.
That's the Cameroon team that I spoke about, just because we'd obviously it came from the Cameroon women's team. The Cameroon team in the 1990 World Cup were hilarious. Kicked everyone off the park, beat Argentina, I think, the opening game. And Claudio Paul Caniggia was lucky to end up with still two legs attached to his hips, I think. Preston side's already been done. Sean Gregan and Essie was excellent to watch. If you can get footage of it on YouTube, it's well worth a look. And then there's that iconic Wimbledon-Liverpool 1988 Cup final. Literally, they take
seconds in.
And Vinnie Jones absolutely fucking wipes out Steve McMahon. But what does Steve McMahon do? Get up and trots off.
Yeah.
The geezer would have been out injured for about 44 years now, these days. Yeah. I'm not saying modern players are soft, but...
Well, I think they are compared to what they used to be. Don't make them like that anymore.
No, they don't anymore.
Dan Simpson also mentions Rochdale at home... Paul Jocelyn said a number of games last season where he felt players were trying it on, kind of touching upon what we're saying.
It's where the modern, line is, isn't it? It's trying it on and bending the rules, and then there's downright cheating, which is when the line gets crossed.
Craig Lee also mentions Rochdale, and Dave Gay also says Rochdale at home, real dirty team, and was hoping, like so many, that they would be relegated. Unfortunately, they're around again this season, and the elbows.
Interesting. I don't know what their retained this was. I don't know whether the two or three that we've mentioned are still there, so. I mean, Wilbraham's what now, 40?
Yeah. Don't know. He's still going. I think he's still carrying on, though, isn't he? I don't think he retired.
Playing football or just elbowing people?
Well, both.
We'll find out in a few months, won't we?
Any more you want to add to that list?
I think there's some good selections there. Swindon and Rochdale.
Shows how bad Rochdale were, the fact that everyone
Yeah, if it's stuck in the mind that much, you can get just one or two, then you'd say, oh, it's people just fucking whinging. But if it's sort of 9, 10, 11 people are mentioning it, then there's something in it, clearly.
Name in the frame this week. So we had four choices. Like the gent I am, I gave up my choice to Rachel Bradley.
Oh, bless you.
Who finished fourth.
Don't let
with Felix Bastian's 18%.
Right, free transfer.
Next, we had Boz, his choice of Richard Rose, 19%. Runner-up, Antonio German, who was chose this week by @Jules1979. I believe his name is also Mark. His name is Mark. And the winner again, second week running, this time with a 2% winning victory.
Win. Like Jackie Oakley said, if you're pregnant, yourself. You're pregnant.
Introduce the player that won.
This week's name in the frame is 1990s midfielder utility man Mickey Galloway, signed by Tony Pulis as part of the squads that got to Wembley in 99 and 2000. I think he come in... Did he come in the 97-98 season, I want to say? Start of that season.
Which I'd never heard of him, so I've googled it. And you're right, I think it was 97-98.
I'm sure he was part of that.
Made about 90 odd appearances.
Yeah, he was a good player. This is back in the day when you can only have three substitutes, and so you had to either take a chance with someone you didn't have a goalie on the bench back then, and you had three outfield players, or you just had to limit yourself to just two outfield players. But no, he was a decent player. I think he could play from either side. I think he fielded at fullback a couple of times. He was a good lad. I think he's part of that. Do you remember that old ITV? What was it they were called? Meridian regional like news show.
Oh, right.
Like ITV back in the day, and they'd done that documentary that's now on YouTube called The Football Club. He's on there. He rips the piss out of Nicky Southall, something chronic, and you find out why Nicky Southall was called Trigger. And there's a story that Mickey Galloway tells. I sit in a hotel room before an away game saying that Trigger kept having his fucking hubcaps nicked.
Oh,
so he glued them on, and then he got a flat tire and could get his fucking tire off. And Galloway's in absolute fucking stitches, like rolling around on his bed, creasing up. And Southall's just sitting there, like a bit gormless in the corner, bless him, like, oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, he was a good footballer, Mickey Galloway. Like I say, could play either side, was decent. I mean, he struggled to get in the team all the time. We had good players back then. Nicky Southall was a winger. The likes of Carl Asaba, Bob Taylor, Akin Bae the season before, Leo Fortune West, I think. But yeah, a really good, solid member of the squad that for two or three seasons under Pulis in what's now League One was very, very good. Up the Galloway.
So he's going to adorn the HQ wall for this week.
It's got 7 days up there, or maybe only five, depending on...
If Boz remembers when he's next doing
when
the podcast.
When recording this is next week.
Yeah, we don't know yet. Boz don't know...
I don't know what he's doing after fucking time, let's be honest.
Are you going to make it 3 weeks in a row, though?
I'll have a go. I've picked one, I think. Oh, it's on there, but we're recording on it, so...
Mm. What time? No, I think leave it at the moment.
I think I'm going to stick to my mid to late 90s theme at the moment. It's been successful for 2 weeks on the bounce. So we're classing this as 2-2 between me and you. You've won FIFA and the quiz. I've won 2 weeks in a row of name in a frame. Boz is just a big fat loser. Who eats sausage sandwiches really
choice,
weird.
What was Boz's choice?
Was it Purple 20?
We say, oh, right.
Oh, sorry. We you just said, what was his choice?
No, yeah, but I was going to say, then we say what kind of era it's from.
Oh, sorry. I just heard the word, so yeah.
No one heard. Sounds like linguine.
Sounds like linguine. David Linguine.
David Linguine. If anyone's got any suggestions, get in touch with us.
Slide the Jules in the Blood Injury DMs. Time DM account. Stocky will happily have a chat with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Your offer of a smile and Ribena still on the table?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Whatever you want. If you come round, bring a picture, we'll get you a Ribena, send you on your merry way.
And you don't smile like Boz smiles in that picture on the caption competition.
No. I think that's about it for us this week, isn't it?
Yeah, short and sweet.
I'll let you do the conclusion.
What just say then?
I just say what you want to say, really. I'll let you freestyle.
That's good.
Tell people to follow the Twitter.
Boz sets such high standards when he does this that I feel a bit
what
in awe.
What was it last week? Boz, you're going to do the ending. Bye.
What did he do? He just went, I can't believe I lost at the quiz. And then that was it. No, as always, like we say on the channel, the pod, appreciate all the support, all the retweets, all the shares. I think it's brilliant that you all contribute. I know Stocky loves reading through all these. Funny stories we get and videos from the likes of Scoop and sorry Dutch that Stocky's an idiot and deleted your message, but yeah, we appreciate all the support on all formats on Facebook and everything like that. Like we said thousands of times, and we'll say it 1,000 times more without people listening, watching it, it'd be absolutely nothing. So thank you for listening this week. Try and get something on the channel soon. It's been a bit quiet, hasn't it? But if not, worst case scenario, next Saturday there'll be a match day live.
There you go, first one.
And then another pod next Friday, Saturday or Sunday, depending on how social Stocky's social life is.
Yeah.
Until next time, up the Jills.